Sue. She's we have our little 6-month-old getting dedicated at Dream Builders Church. So she's off with that. So our little Samuel, our chunky little grand boy. He's really chunky. It's good for weightlifting for Sue, though, you know. Secondly, I suppose I'll make this announcement now. This week that's just gone by, we went to an ACL meeting, and we were both quite tired, so we thought, oh, I'll go along. But it was quite funny because 9:30 when we were driving home, we said, boy, I'm glad we went. It was just amazingly powerful. It was just, they had speakers there, must have been about 4 speakers, of homosexuals who had changed back and found Jesus. And their testimonies were raw and so powerful. And so critically important because of the suppression law that the Victorians have brought in. And interestingly, both Liberal and Labor are not willing to even bring it up. But doubtless here, it'll come into Western Australia without a fight. So it is so important. I mean, the law is that even parents can't advise their children, their own children. And it is hideously evil. So the Australian Christians have actually researched all the candidates to see which ones are Christians and which ones will be sensible about. And I say sensible, that you don't even have to be Christians. There are non-Christian groups that are really fighting this suppression law as well. So it is very, very important. If I think of it, and if I can find it, I'll send you. They've got another meeting, I think, on the night of 7th of March, I think. But anyway, I'll try and figure out that. Let's pray and look at this passage. Father God, I just want to thank you for your word. Thank you that there are 4 Gospels, 4 writers who describe the life of Jesus. And Lord, we all see things differently, and even with our own friends, and with the friends, our friends, they see different parts of us. So it is good to have 4 Gospels. And then the writings of Paul and the writings of Luke and Acts, Lord, and the writings of others. Thank you. Thank you for your word, because our aim is to get to know you. For this is our only boast, that we know you, the God of loving kindness, righteous and judgment, and in these things you delight. And so many people don't know us, but we want to know you. And we know that that's hard. We thank you that you have opened up your heart to us so that we can get to know you. And I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, for your anointing then on each of us as we look at your word, that by your Holy Spirit, you will show us the things we need to see, so that we are brought into your presence. And so this week we walk better with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pilate, tested and bullied. You know, I haven't heard a sermon about bullying. And I'm 70 years old, so there you go. You'd think I would have. So then, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, but you may know that I find no fault in him." So this was complete arrogance. Pilate found no fault in Jesus, but still scourged him and tortured him to please the Jewish leaders. On what seemed like a small matter, Pilate was answerable to no one. There's the thought that Pilate actually wanted to appease the accusers and so help Jesus, but the compromise didn't work. These scourgings with fragments of bone and metal could totally destroy the back of a victim, so that some people even died from that. The crown of thorns and the purple robe were the Romans' mockery of Jesus and the Jews who brought him. Now, is this the best you can do for a king? Ha! But again, he states that he finds no fault in Jesus. Pilate makes several attempts to free Jesus. Look at Luke 23 here, and 1, 2, 3, 4 different things. So, verse 4, Paul said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no fault in this man. And then, verse 14, and having been, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod. For I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I'll therefore chastise and release him. 3, verse 20. Pilate therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted again, crucify him, crucify him. So third time, fourth time. Verse 22. Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise and let him go. Compromise. Okay, I'll chastise him, let him go. But this guy, I can't find anything wrong. Herod couldn't find anything wrong. Okay? And I'm the ruler of this lot. All this begs the question, how prepared are we to defend the innocent? The most innocent in our land are unborn babies. Some born and left to die. And I was listening to Martin Niles on the Victorian suppression bill. It was amazing, and his teaching there on what Dan Andrews has brought in. That they voted against even having decided to abort babies, even giving the babies painkillers. And even babies born alive are not given painkillers. How prepared are we to defend the innocent? Now, Darlington Review wishes to silence me so that I can speak out about the loving kindness of God, but be silent about his righteousness and judgment. You know Jeremiah 9, I've quoted it so much. Okay, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows me, for I am the God of loving kindness, judgment and righteousness, and in these things I'm quite happy about. No, got it wrong. And in these things I delight. God says, I delight in loving kindness. I delight in judgment. I delight in righteousness. And so much of the Western world and our church history has been to preach about the loving kindness of God, but forget the judgment of God and forget the righteousness of God. And so we don't understand when Job 28:28 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ha! Because we have someone weak, a pussy for a God. But God is a God of judgment and righteousness. And people, this is your boast. This is what God says. If you want to get to know me, get to know me. How many people know you, really? How many people know you? How many people know me? Your friends, you have different friends, don't you? And different friends know different bits about you. But who knows you? It is only God. It is only the Lord God who knows me. It is only God. Then I take out my heart and put it in my hands, and he doesn't crush it at all. He knows me. He knows me. Pilate, even though he was warned by his wife from a dream given to her by the providence of God, listens to the flesh. Look at this. When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. So you have this one who's close to him, his own wife, comes and says, look, this is it. This is a just man, and I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. God speaks to us in dreams. And this woman comes to her husband and says, this guy is righteous. Okay, watch it. Edmund Burke says, and you know the saying well, it's been quoted by many, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. 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 Political correctness says you do nothing. Nothing. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Now, I'm guilty of that so many times. It struck me, I was praying for a lady on the walk the other day. And after I left her, she had a damaged hand, arm, whatever, in a sling. I thought, I should have prayed for her. And it just kind of hit me. Too late again. Merrill's, you've failed again, again and again. I fail continually for good men to do nothing. I have not prayed or spoken or acted so many times. We only see our failures if we try not to fail. There were so many years of my life where I didn't try, where I didn't pray for thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You just kind of waltz through life. Yeah, I'm a Christian and all of that. And if you're like that, you don't actually see your failures because you're not actually trying, so you haven't actually failed. Our culture has filtered out so much of what the Bible reveals about demonic warfare. The Bible is clear. We are at war with evil. And evil is not impersonal. It's personal. There is a Satan. There is a devil. There are demons. They are personal. And the very fact that you can't see them doesn't matter. You can't see your germs anyway. I've never seen a COVID germ yet. That's because it's not in Western Australia. But anyway, yeah. You know, I've given you this example only for the mathematicians and in the congregation about how after Pythagoras came, you know, you had your triangle 1, 1 and the hypotenuse is √2 and how they threw off this threw this guy off the boat to drown because he said, no, you've got to be able to express √2 as a rational number, as a ratio of two numbers. And I've said that in maths classes. Yep, you can get as close as you like to the square root of 2. And this guy said, no, there are irrational numbers, two sets that come as close as you like but never touch. Jesus says in John 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What? What if I try really hard? What if I go to theological college? What if I study? What if I get a doctorate? Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What? What if I try? What if I've been born in a Christian home? Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But the little child can? Yeah, the little child can. The little child who's born again can. They can see. They can see. Satan doesn't read minds. He puts thoughts in our heads and we can, and he can see if we are secured by them by looking at our actions, the ensuing actions. People, your loyalty, our loyalty, is to God. It's not to an organization. It's not to a political party. It isn't even to a church. It is to God. That's your loyalty. That's your loyalty. And Satan can deflect you just a little bit off the line. Okay, God, bang, do something good. Support some good organization. But you miss it. Your loyalty is to Jesus Christ. This account of the agony of Jesus, which he goes through, allows us to relate to our own struggles. In our confusion and the battle between pain and the conviction of our fate, we must pray. You can't have a friendship if you don't pray. You can't have a friendship with a person if you don't talk to them. If you don't open up your heart. If you don't allow them to open up their heart. We must bind the enemy. We must curse every tool of the enemy that prevents people from turning to God, whether it's house, finance, popularity, health, sleep, friends, family, career. Our target is salvation for the person, not a complacent, comfortable trip to hell for eternity. There, there. I won't upset you by telling you about hell. Yeah, you're doing really well. I hope you have a prosperous life. I hope you've got rid of all the pain in your life. There, there. And yeah, we won't mention hell, but that's where you're going. Have you got it? That's what Satan wants. Don't mention it. Don't mention it. People, you have prodigals. You have prodigals. I know. The probability is extremely high that you have prodigals. I've got prodigals. And we've got to pray for them. And Jesus himself speaks the parable of the prodigal son. Because it says in John, even his brothers did not believe in him. Wow, how do you do that? How do you live in a family, in a house, have meals, whatever, with the Son of God and not know him? So he knows about prodigals and he knows your heart. But we see too that Pilate is being bullied by people under his rank. Under his rank, under his rank, under his rank, yeah, under his rank. How do we spot bullying and how do we stop it? Firstly, we have to see that bullying is satanic. So when someone sometimes reverses roles, it may seem like a bit of an enigma, but the weaker bullies the stronger. So the child versus the parent, the wife versus the husband, the citizen versus police, the pupil versus the teacher. If you are the bully, stop it. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Secondly, the prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is critical. Pilate never had this prayer. Our focus in life is to seek the face of God and please him. It doesn't matter what other people think of us. Isaiah 54, our righteousness is in him. What do people think? Who cares? What does God think of you? What does God think of you? Your righteousness is in him. Thirdly, if we see bullying, we must speak out and expose it. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Why? Free them from the hand of the wicked. Free them from the hand of the... So you've got to do something. Fourthly, we need to pray for the bully. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now the target of your prayer, be careful, is salvation. That is the only blessing. So no pain, prosperity, popularity, no guilt. It is salvation for the bully that they want, so they know God, whatever the cost. You know, three times in Jeremiah, God instructs the prophet, and you never hear a sermon on this either. Three times, Jeremiah 7, I'm just finishing Jeremiah in my Bible reading. God says, do not pray for these people. Wow, how we ignore the Bible. God says, do not pray for these people. God knows that if their suffering stops, they will not turn to him. Isn't that incredible? You know, Pharaoh, nine times he missed the point. There were nine plagues in Egypt, and he missed it. I think that was nine. Sometimes he missed it until his own son dies. And even then, after his son dies, he chases after the Israelites. Tries to cross the Red Sea. And the soldiers are killed. Do not pray for these people. God knows that if their suffering stops, they will not turn to him. Because no pain, prosperity, popularity, no guilt. That's the thing the flesh wants, doesn't it? That's the thing flesh defines as blessing. Ah, it's so good. I'm so comfortable on my way to hell. Ah, yes. For the mathematician again, yes, just 100 years over infinity is zero. That's zero time. It's a small time that we have on this earth, but it's enough time to make a decision to follow God. So understand that everything which stands against salvation is a curse. Very often, no pain, no guilt, prosperity, popularity can give impetus for further bullying, and we need to bind the strong man. Look at Luke 11. Jesus says, and he teaches, "If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Surely, surely you can see it. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, this is Jesus, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." See, what's the armor? What's the armor? He takes from him his armor. This is all the stuff that Satan has put in front of people so they cannot come to God. Prosperity, popularity, no pain, no guilt. But when a stronger than he comes and overcomes him, he takes from him all the stuff in which he is trusted. Has he trusted in that? Yeah, people do. People trust in popularity. I'm popular. It's really good. I have no guilt. It's really good. I've got no pain. It's really good. Gathering is active. It's not passive. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." You can't sit on your backside and do nothing when you're gathering. You are gathering. You are gathering. People, God has put into your life unsaved people. Not an accident, not a fluke, not a coincidence. God has positioned you exactly where he wants you, and there are unsaved in your family, unsaved in your neighborhood, unsaved in your workplace, unsaved in your history. There are people, and God says, "I want you to get out and gather. And I want you to fall on your knees and pray for these people and pray intelligently and work out. Let the Spirit of God show you. This is the block with this person. They were hurt 25 years ago. Think that's a joke? No, there are people that are hurt 25 years ago and still hang on to it. And that's the reason they haven't come back to God. And you say, "Lord, I want that barrier broken and crushed in the name of Jesus Christ. I want it crushed completely. And whatever comfort comes from that, I want it crushed, because I want them to see you." "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Is this a suggestion? No, this is a statement of fact. This is a theorem from God. Jesus says it. Whatever you bind on earth, you have authority because of who you are. The Greek word exousia, ex out of, ousia is the verb to be, out of being. Because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have authority. You have authority because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose. There's often a reluctance to pray these prayers. So what's the problem? We believe in God. We believe in the Bible. We believe there are hosts of invisible beings, good and bad, all around. We note that Jesus' command is always verbal. It's never just thoughts. You don't just sit there and think, "Oh, yes." No, you speak it out. So if money, power, good health, friends are the tools of the bully, bind them and pray for the bully. Binding might also mean that in Australia we boycott firms, companies that support evil. I've said before, Qantas, ASICS, Rugby Australia slammed Israel for low for speaking the truth and telling people that sinners are going to hell. It means that in the election to come, you don't vote for candidates who support abortion and support LGBTQ stuff and suppression stuff. Who think that parents don't have the right to counsel their own children. who think that after you've transitioned from one gender to another, you cannot change back. Freedom of choice, yes, as long as it goes the bad way, but not the good way. Abandon any loyalty for political candidates and parties that blatantly seek to normalize evil. You know, Australian Christians have researched each candidate. So you'll have people from different parties there and different orders because they've researched each of them. Get hold of it. In that Victorian bill, you had parties that I hadn't even heard of who voted against it. Only two Liberals voted against the suppression order. You can't trust a party at all. Jesus knows that the big battle is that he has to defeat Satan and death. He has to die and rise again so that we can know that death has no victory. 1 Corinthians there, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Behold the man! Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Jesus heard the saying, he was more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Isn't that amazing? This is the ruler. We see Pilate is not angry. He's not amused. Instead, he is afraid. Even though he had soldiers and all the authority of Rome, our strength and our hope must be anchored in the living God. How often as a child I sang that song mindlessly, build on the rock that ever stands. Build on the rock, yep, but it's right. Build on the rock. Build on the rock of Jesus Christ. Everything else is sand. Our strength and our hope are in God. There are times when silence is the correct response. The silence of Jesus moves Pilate to correct his question rather than where are you from? To tell Pilate that he's from Nazareth was completely missing the point. So Jesus doesn't answer that. Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you? And Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it was given to you from above. Therefore the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Humility is essential for understanding salvation. Pilate needed to understand that he was under authority. The greater sin lay with Judas and the Jewish rulers. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. The Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. This wasn't their real accusation. This was just what they were using for Pilate. And Pilate wanted to be a friend of Caesar. He wanted to be friends with the powerful, popular, smart, funny person. He wanted all of that. Popularity is such an idol. But wisdom comes from walking with God. Can you get through life without praying? No. Can you get through a day without praying? No. Pray, 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 pray. When Pilate heard, therefore, that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Ho! They'd blown it really, hadn't they? Such blasphemy. Satan's control is evidenced by the raw hatred in the cries to crucify Jesus. There is raw hatred in the world against Christians. the hundreds of millions of Christians persecuted. If you don't get the email from Barnabas Fund or Open Doors, you should sign up for them. It is horrific stuff. We are so blessed. This same hatred is seen in the persecution of Christians throughout the world today and in the bill recently passed by the Victorian government to penalize believers who pray for people. You can't even pray. Pride can be very subtle, so that seemingly humble people can refuse to admit they are sinners. People can become angry at the mention of God. They think it's okay to blaspheme, okay to use the name of Jesus as a swear word, but the reality of hell to be mentioned in sincerity by a Christian is offensive. How strong is the truth? How strong? That's proof of the truth. These Jews want God to disappear, and any confrontation with the truth requires humility, and they blow it. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Now Pilate had failed the test. He avoided responsibility. His brain missed the central character of Jesus. He chooses compromise to keep the peace. He tried sarcasm by referring to Jesus as a king. He was blind to the spiritual. Money and power left him with no idea of the truth. So back in the other previous passage, you know, he says, what is truth? There's no idea. I end with this quote from Erdman in his commentary. He says, you, me, Robert, you may do today exactly what Pilate did. He is simply an example of a man who lacks decision of character, who does not possess the courage of his convictions, who tries to compromise with wrong, who disobeys conscience through fear of personal loss. We want to be strong for God. Amen? We want to be strong for God. This hymn, Tell Out My Soul. Let's stand and sing it. It's the greatness of the Lord, and we're singing it to ourselves and to God. Tell out my soul. My soul needs to speak it out. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Yep, all the blessings that God has given you, speak about them. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Savior shall my heart rejoice. Tell out my soul the glories of God's word. Firm is the promise and God's mercy sure. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord to children's children and forevermore. Yep, I want my grandkids to know God. Children's children. Amen. Let's stand and sing, Tell Out My Soul.